Save big money this spring with help from Menards. Get your garden ready with groundbreaking power equipment from Earthquake. Tillers are great for breaking ground to creating a smooth seed bed. The Earthquake Pioneer Tiller is designed to give you more control while still providing all of the benefits of a heavy-duty, dual-direction tiller. Hurry in for all your lawn and garden needs and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. The old way of doing things makes sense for some things, like popcorn at the movies. But the old ways don't make sense if you expect more yield out of your acres, because there's a new way to unlock the full potential of your fields, and it starts when you plant Enlist corn. With four robust trait tolerances, glyphosate and glufosinate, plus 2,4-D choline and FOP, it unleashes ultimate weed control flexibility with multiple modes of action to fight weeds. See what's possible for your fields at enlist.com/corn.
Welcome into Redacted Forgotten Lore Bookshop. In our chat room just said, please tell me that Natalie is back on the show today.
Natalie's here.
She is back. Welcome into the show. Yesterday, Natalie was off. We're dealing with like sickness in our family and our daughter and all of that craziness. So anyway, she is back. She's
here
back.
I am. Let's do this. Thank you for joining us. This is Redacted, the show where we cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores or from the angles that they also ignore. There's a lot of bullshit happening right now.
She's back, everyone. Yeah. Way to kick it off.
I said that, but I
started. Yesterday was a curse-free show, but welcome back to Potty Mouth. But hey, you know, sometimes you need it in these day and age when you have members of the Pentagon being ousted, kicked out, because something big right now is happening at the United States Pentagon under President Trump. And it's very, very concerning. We're gonna speak with Colonel Daniel Davis on the show about it today, because these number of individuals who are obviously pushing us towards peace to stay away from war are now being ousted, and they're being replaced with war hawks, people that actually want to take us to war. So, yes, it is BS.
It definitely is. We're also going to talk about what the Trump administration wants to do about the declining population problem in the United States, which is real. It's worth talking about, because are we on the verge of a civilization collapse? We're going to talk about what other countries have done, what might work, why it's worth a try.
Also, I don't know if you saw 60 Minutes this past weekend, but they're basically laying the groundwork for a new pandemic, basically telling us that, hey, you thought COVID was rough? Oh, no. You ain't seen nothing yet. Is that just fear mongering by the mainstream media trying to push a new round of vaccines on us? Dr. Pierre Corey is going to be here, because the doctor had Bill Whitaker on 60 Minutes saying, you're scaring me. And she said, yeah, you should be scared. So should we be scared?
She said she doesn't sleep at night, a virologist, because of a new pandemic that she thinks is mutating throughout mammals.
And by the way, do you remember Le Chiffre from James Bond, Casino Royale?
I do.
Le Chiffre. I don't know if you say Le Chiffre. You know, who was, what's his name? I forget the actor who plays him. Anyone who can tell me in the chat room who plays him. But he had the
Mads
the weeping Mads
there you
Mikkelsen.
Go.
Yeah, where he's got the weeping eye and he cries blood. Mm-hmm. Well, Klaus Schwab's replacement at the WEF is basically just like Le Chiffre from Casino Royale. We'll tell you, can they pick like normal people to replace World Economic Forum leaders? No, they can't.
No, this programming idea that they program us for what they're going to do with mainstream television and media. Yeah. That plays out. Did you see that the morning show had a launch just like Blue Origin? That also was part of
it? No, I didn't. Really?
Maybe we'll come back around to that. I don't know if you guys got a little nauseous of me going over and over and over again, the Blue Origin. I couldn't get enough of that story.
That's all she's been talking about all weekend. But also, think about the Pope dying and Conclave. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. Like, that's programming. As Laura Logan, friend of the show, Laura Logan pointed out, she's like, people should go back and watch this. They're programming us for this happening. Also, scary piece. I don't know if you saw this, that I forget who posted this the other day. And I was like, holy smokes, is that true? That at the start of every world war, World War I, World War II, and likely World War III, there was always the death of a pope that marked the sort of the turning and the beginning of a world war.
Hmm.
So on that positive note, we've got a lot of news to get to on your show. But first,
we want to tell you about our friends over at Kickoff, because, hey, you may have just filed your taxes. You're thinking about your finances and you're looking at your credit score. Well, if it is your goal to make sure that you ramp up your credit score in order to make a purchase, in order to do whatever it is your financial goals are, then you need to look at Kickoff. What they do is help you come up with a way to get credit by offering you credit to buy things that you may already want. And so it's an app, you join it, and it can help by giving you a good credit right away. So if you have a medium to low credit, you join Kickoff, all of a sudden you have a credit on your credit score that is good because you are using this every month. You're getting a small loan, you're paying it back on a regular basis, and you're getting things you might already want. If your credit is under 600, you could jump 84 points with one-time payments. It's a smart, legit credit hack with no catch, no credit check, no hidden fees, and no interest payments. It's simple. You just make on-time payments for a small loan for things that you actually get. You get things in return, like books and audiobooks and things that will help you learn from them. So credit bureaus then see good behavior, which means your credit is growing fast. So tax season is the perfect time to take control of your financial future. For a limited time only, get your first month free at getkickoff.com/redacted. There's no C, it's KIKOFF, getkickoff.com/redacted. Don't wait. Give them a try. Take a look. Must sign up again at getkickoff.com/redacted to activate your offer.
Well, and let us know your thoughts on this story, guys, and let us know where you're joining us from around the world today as we look at what's happening in the Pentagon. So the Israel lobby is working overtime right now to destroy the anti-war team that Trump has assembled at the Pentagon. And of course, we learned over the past few days that this team of Tulsi Gabbard, of Pete Hegseth, of Susie Wiles, and others forced his hand. I don't know if he really forced his hand. It seemed like he didn't want to do it in the first place, to kind of push him to make sure that he's not actually going to attack Iran, or at least be party to an attack against Iran. Now, we've learned here at Redacted that former Israeli Mossad agents are working overtime on both social media and behind the scenes trying to discredit Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. Neocon Mike Waltz has now hired basically a dual citizen and former IDF official to work under him. And three anti-war DOD officials were just fired. Friend of the show, Tucker Carlson, just interviewed one of them. That man sitting there with Tucker is Dan Caldwell. And I want you just to watch Tucker's summary of what just happened to Dan Caldwell. I think he sums it up perfectly. Watch.
Dan Caldwell is a Marine Corps veteran who wound up until 3 days ago advising the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, on military policy. He was one of the strongest voices in the U.S. government and the Trump administration against the war with Iran. And his rationale was simple. It's not in America's interest, and many Americans will die and billions will be spent on a war we don't need to fight. And as someone who fought in Iraq, he was able to take that case to the principals with some force. Then, 3 days ago, he was fired from the Pentagon. But not for his views on Iran, no. Dan Caldwell was fired because, reporters are told off the record, he had leaked classified documents to the media. But what were these classified documents exactly? Well, no one at the Pentagon could know the answer to that because Dan Caldwell's phone was never examined, nor was he given a polygraph. So actually, beneath the headlines was nothing other than a false accusation. Was Dan Caldwell fired because he opposed the push to war with Iran? You decide.
You decide. What do you guys think? Well, Lieutenant Colonel Dan Davis knows a thing or two about being canceled by being anti-war, specifically anti-war with Iran. He almost worked for the Trump administration until the neocons and Israel lobby made sure that he certainly didn't. Lieutenant Colonel Dan Davis joins us now. Colonel, great to see you. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, we've been wanting to have you on for a long time. Schedules conflicted. I think you had a live show simultaneously, so we couldn't get you on live with us. So it's a thrill to have you here. First of all, just at a high level, what do you think is going on at the Pentagon? Is our assessment correct? Do you think that the Israeli lobby, the neocons, are actively trying to undermine President Trump and Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth?
I don't have visibility on what may be happening, but I have very strong clarity on what the results are. And there is unequivocal. I watched that interview with Dan Caldwell on Tucker's show. I saw it unfold myself. And any time that you have a situation where you're being accused of leaking classified information, and now then it looks like Hegseth himself is kind of caught up into this in a probably a no-win situation, and he's not playing it well, I got to say, because now he's accusing Caldwell and all three of these guys of leaking classified information and disgruntled employees and all that. And listen, I can tell you, if you're accused of doing something violating an issue with classified information, that's jail time. That's not just being fired. And the fact that they didn't even look at his phone, he wasn't charged with anything, he wasn't even told with it, that tells you that there's no substance there. And so then the only thing left is there must be some policy issue. And when all of these guys were definitely in the camp that don't go down this path to military confrontation with Iran because it would be catastrophic for our interest, forget about Iran, frankly, but even for ourselves, it would be terrible. And with these guys were known as that position, and they were all the ones that were let go, then something else is going on.
Well, you had the mainstream media. Sorry, I just want to say the mainstream media jumped right all over the story. I had someone in the chat room just saying, hey, I've never watched your show before, but this guy clearly leaked information. You guys are spewing BS. Basically, this person saw it in the mainstream media. So the mainstream media, you know, spread this information immediately, but they don't have any facts. Where are their sources on it? His phone wasn't used. They did not charge him with anything. So where is the mainstream media getting this BS story from?
And can I follow up before you move on? Because you said that Pete Hegseth is not handling this well. What should we be hearing from him? What could he do better?
Listen, I know Caldwell. I've known him for 7 or 8 years, and he has been at the height of following the rules, of being terribly dedicated to the country. Obviously, he's a combat veteran himself, has never shown anything except the highest of standards of morality, integrity, et cetera. So when I first heard this, I knew something was off right away. And because he had shown such loyalty to Hegseth and had followed him in there and taken this job, and he knew Caldwell did when he went into this, as all of us did who were even up for any of these positions, we knew the headwinds we would be going up against, and he was willing to take that chance. And unfortunately, I didn't see loyalty in the other direction. I think that Hegseth should have told whoever was behind all this stuff that they needed to just freaking pound sand. Because consider this, Hegseth is the number two guy in the chain of command for the United States Armed Forces. So if it wasn't the number one guy, President Trump would put pressure on him, and I see no evidence it was, then who else had the power and the pressure to compel Hegseth to let go somebody who was tremendously loyal to him? That's the part I think he's misplayed. He should have stood up and said, no, y'all pound sand, this ain't happening.
I think the deep state is actively working to undermine President Trump. I think it's as clear as day what's going on right now. I don't understand. I can't wrap my head around what you just said, which is if he's the head of the Pentagon, he's the Secretary of Defense, how do three guys who advise him get fired and he doesn't have really a say in it?
Right.
I would love to see by the end of the week these guys get reinstated. To me, that's like the ultimate power play, because all of the media, like the Mossad agents who have taken over social media and the bots, the bot army that's out there now pushing this narrative about Hegseth, you can see it in action, by the way, and you can see the counts that are actually posting this. They're former Israeli Mossad agents. They're all pushing the same thing, that Hegseth will be out by the end of the week. Wouldn't the ballsy move here for the Trump administration to rehire these people?
That would be a ballsy move. I would like to see it. Anything that pushes back on, look, I have to confess, I don't have any knowledge about Mossad agents or any of this other stuff that you're talking about there, but I can see unequivocally some big power is exerting pressure on the United States Department of Defense that's causing the Secretary of Defense to take action that doesn't really make any sense on the surface of it. And I would love to see him bow up and say, no, you know what? Our investigation did not reveal anything. We checked into it, and these guys have been faithful to their jobs, and they're going to be rehired. Now, whether they would do it and come back is a separate issue, because some of those bridges may have been burned, but I'd like to see them do something to take power back for our country.
Now I'm going to offer you this glass half full interpretation, and let me know if you think this is naive, because I have noticed that as the negotiations with Iran continue to be productive, according to the Trump administration.
And excellent. Their words were excellent.
Right. that the crescendo of pro-war rhetoric is ramping up. And so we see attacks on Joe Rogan that they think that they can sort of tamp down his anti-war stance against Iran. We see attacks on people in and around the inner circle that are against a war with Iran. But it seems like because we have the agency of social media, people are not buying it. So is it possible that this is the first lie-based war that is thwarted because of independent media? What do you think of that?
Well, I certainly hope that's the case. I actually had on my own show earlier this afternoon, I had Doug McGregor on, and we were talking about this very issue here. And I showed a couple of clips from, two of the biggest warmongers there are in former General Jack Keane and Senator Tom Cotton, who have just been going over the top talking about how we should be afraid of Iran. And they have this existential threat, which is complete military nonsense. And we totally shredded that military argument on it at its surface here. But we have seen, because Trump himself on March 7th, I think it was, from the Oval Office, made it sound like we were already had made the decision to go to war with Iran. And then now that since he's had a change of heart and he's like saying, no, let's try this negotiations. And I think it has a shot at success. And we're doing everything we can to encourage that path, because that is absolutely the best thing for the United States.
How devastating would it be for the United States, or how devastating would it be for Israel to attack Iran?
Yeah, that's one of the things that we're hyping so much, is that you can, if you want to, you can hate Iran. That's an individual choice. But when you're talking about taking military action, you have to ask the big question, and then what? You launch missiles, and then what? What is Iran going to do in response? What can Iran do to Israel? What can Iran do to even American interest or to our allied interest in the region? Can we take them out militarily, or can we only harm them? And if we only harm them, then what? What's the next level? Because now you've got an open-ended war that could be devastating to the global economy, that could be causing many of our troops who were in vulnerable positions, especially in Iraq and in Syria, that would be very vulnerable to Iraq ballistic or Iranian ballistic missiles, as well as some of these other organizations in Iraq that are facilitated or friendly to the Iranian regime. All kinds of things could happen if we push Iran into a corner. And by the way, the worst of those potentially would be compelling them to finally make the decision to have a nuclear weapon. No matter how many bombs you may drop, we may not be able to knock that out. So everything bad could happen if we go down this path, and I don't see anything good that could happen.
Are you worried about what happens at the Pentagon?
Of course I am. Again, because of that issue that Doug and I talked about on the show this afternoon, that the number two guy in the chain of command of the United States Armed Forces apparently was compelled to take action against his own interests because these guys were so loyal to him. Then you have to wonder what is going on and who's not pulling strings, who's putting pressure on that can actually cause the Secretary of Defense to have to blink on his own team. So I think that's the bigger question for me, is what's going on behind the scenes that we don't see. And maybe you're talking about some of it there.
Can I ask a follow-up to something that Natalie asked earlier about the mainstream media and because of social media now getting out these messages? You mentioned someone like General Jack Keane. Now, when I worked at Fox News and I worked with Pete Hegseth, I mean, he was my co-host on a show together, for crying out loud. And they would put on these like warmongers all the time, like General Jack Keane, and, you know, wants to go to war with China. He wants to go to war with everybody. It seems like the mainstream media is now having to walk a really delicate line here. They're sort of having to sit on the fence, because here, like, Pete worked there and they have him on the show and they're interviewing him. But at the same time, then they're also putting on these warmongers and these analysts like General Jack Keane and these other warmongers pushing, you know, John Bolton and these other nut jobs, trying to push us into a war with God knows who. So I think they're in a real pickle right now, because they got a guy that used to work there that they're trying to interview and still curry favor. It's like access journalism. They don't want to burn that bridge.
Right. They don't. And I think to your comment a second ago, that most of the American people aren't buying it, because they see that this just doesn't make sense. And what they're being told doesn't line up with what they see. And of course, I'm encouraged by that. We try to propel that same issue on our own show here by putting out the truth. And here's what's really going on, and things that make sense. And it's logical and rational. And, you know, anything we can do to keep going down that, which is why I applaud you guys for covering this issue the way you are. But I hope that the mainstream media is uncomfortable with this and has to not just walk a fine line, but get back on the right side of the line and cover things that actually are true and real, and if not exposed, who's trying to push pressure on the United States to take action antithetical to our interest. Let's just put forward people who were telling the truth and have them on Fox News more.
Well, there are new insider allegations that it was one of his deputies that was running the show and making these firing decisions, which is interesting because your point is well taken. He's in charge. How can he not thwart that if that's what he really wants? Now, again, you know, he was Clayton's co-anchor. As a family, we find him to be a very sincere person. My take on it is that he was prepared for the media storm around his own personal life, but maybe was not prepared for the dark forces that might undermine him once he took the job, maybe because I don't know why, right? Because who would see this coming? Because the pro-war faction is just so strong and deep-stated. Well, if and there's such a word.
And he also was very pro-Israel. He was also very pro-Israel. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm pro-Israel, but I'm also pro-truth. And just to be clear on that, and I actually went on Fox and several other networks when his name was first announced as being nominated for Secretary of Defense. And I said, listen, I think that, you know, the charge that he wasn't qualified, he hadn't run a big business, he wasn't a general and all that stuff. I said, listen, the guys who have all these qualifications have been doing a terrible job in the past. Maybe we need a breath of fresh air. And if he can do the things that he said and, you know, reorient the Pentagon, bring back the warrior ethos, hold people accountable, set higher standards. I said, those are all fabulous things we really need. And so I said, let's give him a chance. But I said, I warned at the time, right at the beginning, he will run into some huge headwinds because the edifice that is the Pentagon, they love the status quo. They love these guys that are highly qualified, the former generals, because everything's comfortable. They can control that. But now that somebody like Hegseth comes in, and I recommended that he needed to fire a bunch of generals at the beginning because of these people who would be against him and would undermine him needed to be out of the way and hired by people who were qualified and capable but also aligned with President Trump's vision. That only a couple of people got let go, and I don't think enough of them did, and that might have been a real problem.
I think you're right about that. The deep state is strong, and the dumping and the emptying of the swamp has not gone far enough, and that was certainly the mistake of President Trump's first term. He didn't drain the swamp at all. In fact, he added to it. So hopefully this time he's learned a bigger lesson. We'll see how the week plays out, though. Will Hegseth have a job by the end of the week? Maybe will these guys be reinstated by the end of the week? We'll see. Colonel Dan Davis, appreciate you joining
us. Excellent context. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Yeah,
thanks
so much, Colonel.
Really a pleasure.
I'll have you back real soon. Thanks so much, Colonel. All right. And let us know your thoughts on this in the comments below. What do you guys think's going on here with this? And, you know, give us your assessment of this. Do you think Hegseth will be in this job by the end of the week? Drop us a line right now and let us know on that. We've got more news coming up here. We're going to talk about America's birth gap crisis. Is America going to end up like Japan? You know, there's like no young people in Japan. They have an absolute crisis. America is getting close to that. It's not as bad as Japan, but we're pretty damn close. That's why President Trump is sounding the alarm about it and maybe has a plan for $5,000 to encourage Americans to actually have children instead of all the abortions they've been having.
I want that in arrears. I'm due $15,000. I had three babies.
Let's go have some more right now.
We're not going to do that.
Come on.
Nope.
Well, you guys stay here. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Nope.
Just kidding. Sorry. All right.
You embarrass yourself.
I know. Hey, it's self-deprecating. I don't give a shit. So, we're going to talk about that coming up here on the show in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about our sponsor, Aura, because Aura does an incredible job of protecting your personal information. We'll tell you about more on that part in a second. But first, have you ever typed your own name into Google? I was talking with a friend of mine. I won't name names. Okay. He showed me this in action. Literally, he typed his name into Google and his phone number popped up. And I was like, what? And then tons of personal information. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And I told him, you need to try Aura because our most sensitive data, social security numbers, address, phone numbers, all that stuff, account information can all be sold by scammers. If you've ever wondered how scammers get your phone number, why your inbox is flooded with spam, why you're getting weird text messages from toll booth scams, have you gotten that one for crying out loud? Because these companies called data brokers are selling your data and they do it without your consent. They make billions of dollars doing it. Because all it takes is a fraction of those people to click a link in an email or anything, and then boom, their information is stolen. They use their credit cards. It's awful. And guess what? If you notify these data brokers, they are legally required to remove your information. And it makes the process confusing, and they make it hard on purpose so you can't find out how to remove it. That's why I recommend our friends at Aura to our family and friends, because they take care of the hard part. They actually automatically remove your info from these websites, and they keep it off. They'll also send you alerts if some of your information has been stolen or sold to a broker. They will trigger it and let you know about it. So if your personal information is found on the dark web, they can actually go and remove it. Their app is also a secure VPN. It's an antivirus. It's a password manager and more. So look at this deal right now. Aura is giving, it also gives $5 million in identity theft insurance protection. So they will cover that $5 million in identity theft insurance protection. They have U.S.-based fraud experts ready to help 24/7. So go right now, check them out, and let Aura do the hard work of keeping your data safe online. By the way, do you see that QR code on the screen? You can just scan it, and you can start your 14-day free trial right now. Go to aura.com/redacted, or just scan that QR code, or just go to aura.com/redacted.
Save big money this spring with help from Menards. Get your garden ready with groundbreaking power equipment from Earthquake. Tillers are great for breaking ground to creating a smooth seedbed. The Earthquake Pioneer Tiller is designed to give you more control while still providing all of the benefits of a heavy-duty, dual-direction tiller. Hurry in for all your lawn and garden needs and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
All right, we're going to talk about the declining birth rate in the United States, but everywhere, really, every country has this happening. Elon Musk has been on this one for a long time. And you might think, so what? I'm alive. I'm going to be living my life and there'll be enough people for me to live a life, right? Who says to this, I don't care. But what about the world we leave our children? What about the economy as a result of a declining population? Well, here's what Elon Musk says about this. He says that humanity is dying.
Well, there's a lot of things that I suppose that I worry about, but and some of these things will seem esoteric to people. The birth rate is very low in almost every country, and unless that changes, civilization will disappear. America had the lowest birth rate, I believe, ever. That was last year. Places like Korea, the birth rate is 1/3 replacement rate. So that means in three generations, Korea will be 3 or 4% of its current size. And nothing seems to be turning that around. Humanity is dying. And people, it's just not something we evolved to react to.
All right. Well, the New York Times now is reporting that the Trump administration may be looking into incentivizing women, American women, with a baby bonus, $5,000 to every American mother after delivery. We have seen incentives like this actually work in Eastern countries before. For example, in China, some places are offering couples money to marry earlier in order to incentivize them to start their family. Russia offers mothers sizable cash payments if birthing mothers are younger than 27, with which they can use this money to buy a home, for childcare, for medical expenses. In Hungary, birthing mothers under 30 are exempt from personal income tax for the rest of their lives. So those things have, in fact, resulted in a bump in the birth rate. So is this something that the U.S. would want to do? Would it work? And do we need it? Well, Toria Brooke is a cultural commentator and is vocal about the birth rate crisis. I apologize. And she joins us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I think this issue is more than just about relationships. You know, look at our economy right now. We're trying to rebuild after Biden. The inflation rate has gone down since February, so we're at 2.4% versus March's 2.8%. But ultimately, families are turning towards farm-sourced materials because farm-sourced materials, food, any resources they can get because the grocery stores aren't cutting it. I think we need to tackle the economic implications as a whole before just targeting families. I mean, look at the hurricane victims in North Carolina and the fire victims in Maui. You know, we haven't even really tackled that. I think that all Americans are struggling right now. And at the end of the day, single-income households are not working. Our national debt is at $36.22 trillion. It is one of the highest that we've ever had. had. So in order to encourage people to have more children, it's more than a $5,000 incentive. We need to focus on getting the nuclear family back together, lowering our debt, and encouraging families to even exist at all.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And we had the director of the Birth Gap film on our show a couple of years ago, and looking deeply at what caused the birth gap, it always followed massive recessions and economic downturns. I mean, you saw in Japan, right? They've never really recovered from it. Russia, after the fall of the Soviet Union, was devastating, right? So Russia put in these financial incentives to really help its people in that way. But I think America, I think you're right. America is hit with a double whammy. So we have what the liberals have done over the last 20, 25 years in the United States, have basically told people, don't have children. You don't need to be married. Guess what? Having kids is actually kind of a bad thing. It's hurting the environment. You can't afford it. And then they also lumped on top of it a massively devastating economy. So I think America may be in worse shape than Japan. What do you think?
I think right now, especially with relationships, you know, social media took a huge hit on communication and the way that men and women interact. And there's just been this whole feminist wave that really encouraged women to think that men weren't useful to them and they weren't helpful. And at the end of the day, we both need each other. That's how we coexist. So men are providers and protectors, and women are supposed to be, you know, caretakers at home, and some choose to have careers. But I think that women would be more encouraged to seek relations with men if it was more, you know, suggested as a society, yes, this is something that you guys should be striving towards. And God created man and woman to be together. And that truly needs to be resolved, including in the church, which has been really money hungry, which is interesting because really there should be more giving back considering the economic state that we're in.
But this is an anti-feminist message. Telling women, another thing the Times reports is that the Trump administration wants to, quote, educate women on their menstrual cycles, to which I'm sure AOC fainted at the very mention of it, in part so they can better understand when they're ovulating and able to conceive. This is something women are not taught in sex education in public school. They're only taught to put a sticky pad on your underwear and then off you go, right? And then where to get some birth control. They're not actually taught how you reproduce, how you may want to be in control of that. And so people who want to talk like this are put on the back foot because we're called anti-feminists, because we want to talk about the fact that our bodies were built to do this and that it might be good for society, right? How do you feel about that?
Well, I think sex education in the education system should be reformed because, let's face it, men would actually be a lot more successful in their relationships if they understood that women have 4 cycles throughout the month. So believe it or not, there is a week out of the month where a woman will be hotter than the other 3 weeks. So if men understood this, maybe they would be able to be more communicative in their relationship. So yeah, if school is teaching better economic, you know, information of how to manage your finances and your taxes and sex education that wasn't just about not getting pregnant, we'd probably be in a way better place as a society educating our youth.
Right. No, sex education is mostly about avoiding sex. They want you to have the sex. They don't want you to have the resulting baby. That is exactly the purpose.
Yeah, they'll teach
it.
You in nursery school now how to have sex and, you know, put books in the children's libraries about it and all sorts of weird perversions and stuff like that. But they don't want you to actually have a family. That's been the liberal agenda for the last 30 years.
Yeah, and it's really a shame. And I think that people are starting to realize this, though. You see a lot of movements, especially on Instagram, for holistic health, getting back into the home. And I think that's encouraged. And even today on the food front, you know, RFK just announced that the harmful food dyes are going to be banned effective at 4 p.m. Eastern today. So pretty exciting. I know people have been really anxious to see more change in the food system. I know fluoride's also being banned, but all these things affect fertility. Right. So I had this conversation a couple months ago on OAN with Ivory Hecker and Rachel Wilson, and we were discussing the things that affect fertility. And now we're being a lot more educated that it's not just about age. Right. It's about the things that we're consuming in our bodies. And I think that needs to be more of a priority in teaching people how to have families.
Yeah.
Men's fertility has plummeted also. I mean, you're talking about the women's side, but you know, it's like it takes two to tango, and the men are, suffering massively from whatever's causing, you know, this massive fertility drop in men. Do you think that $5,000, this plan that's being floated by the Trump administration, would actually work? Do you think it would encourage people if they still can't afford a house and still struggling with all this massive credit card debt?
I think the idea is a start, but I think that it's going to take a lot more than $5,000 and as an incentive to get people to have kids, right? Because in order to have children, you have to have a relationship. So I don't know if $5,000 would incentivize a man or a woman to say, hey, I'm going to get locked down and let's have kids. But I think as a culture, the more we continue to push the messaging that, hey, you know, we were put on this earth to procreate, have families, and better this world. That's what we have to keep promoting, and it takes positive people like us.
Right. I want to ask you about this because a few weeks ago, the New York Times published this story called The Unspoken Grief of Never Becoming a Grandparent. And so when you think about the birth gap and you think, well, I'm alive, I have some kids, what does it matter? What I've been pondering is the messages of selfishness that you don't need to have kids. You want to keep having fun so then you can't have responsibilities because, you know, it's so great to be a childless free person. But then you think about how you have nobody to take care of you when you get older, but also you deprive your parents who gave you, you know, everything you needed to grow up, this joy of becoming a grandparent. And so I just really feel like you don't see it, how selfish these choices can be.
Well, like I said, until we fix some of the national debt here, Jim Ricker is actually an investment banker and a lawyer who's been prevalent in many administrations in Washington, actually said that there's a rumor going around that Trump may release $150 trillion back into the economy, which may cause a little bit of happiness and, you know, maybe some retail therapy. But I do agree with you that that economic standpoint, as well as the selfishness, we have been taught as a society that you will be fulfilled on your own. But the truth is, you've got a lot of these childless people that are walking around that don't feel fulfilled. So I think multiple factors go into this. And if you want to choose to not have children, that should be allowed as well. But I think the Trump administration is trying to go in the right direction with the $5,000 to start.
Yeah, I think you're right. Toria Brooke, great to see you. Thank you so much for your perspective on this. A lot to digest, and we really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
And in the birth gap documentary, they call it unintended childlessness. People who thought they would always have time, they could make the decision later, and then it's too late. And then that's one of the great sadnesses of our time. No other generation has experienced this epidemic of unintended childlessness, and It is a tragedy. It's a social tragedy in our era.
And that New York Times piece you brought up, I think it was a resonating moment where this grandparent was this older person was walking through a playground and saw like other grandparents with their grandkids, and this person was like, well, I guess I'm never going to get to experience that.
Yeah.
Because my child was too selfish or they couldn't afford it. I don't know. But
although,
that's where we are right now.
This is kind of funny. We have new neighbors coming in that are recent empty nesters. And they're hoping for grandkids. And my daughter, who's 8, was like, well, you know, once we get to know them, I'll just call them grandpa and I'll just go over there and like, they'll give me cookies and stuff. So my 8-year-old's like, I will fulfill that role. I'm ready.
That's nice. I like that. All right. And by the way, we're working to get Jim Rickards on the show. Toria just mentioned Jim Rickards about this 115 or 150 or $115 trillion fund that has been set aside. And will President Trump access it? We're going to dive more deeply into that. Hopefully Jim can join us on the show here. I've read a lot of his books, so I'm a fan of his work. All right, we've got more news to get to here. We're going to talk about what she just talked about, the food dyes, RFK Jr. making that announcement. We're also going to talk about Klaus Schwab and his replacement. And we're going to talk about the new pandemic. Dr. Pierre Corey is joining us here to talk about all of that. But first,
we want to tell you about our friends over at Bunker, because you know that the internet is a jungle. And where do you keep all your family passwords? Where do you keep your family information, your financial information, your IDs, your tax documents, insurance, and more? Bunker is the one app that delivers supercharged privacy and security, letting you store, share, and communicate freely with those that you trust. Now, if you are a prudent chief home officer of your finances, you may think once a quarter, okay, I need to back up my documents, make sure that my taxes are filed, make sure that my loved ones know where to find it. Bunker is a great place to have that all in one spot. So it's not like this is where the Dropbox is, this is where the photos are, here's where my, you know, the deed is to the house. You can have it all organized in one place. So if you had to choose one app for privacy, security, and peace of mind, check out Bunker. It's built by experts with 25 years of experience catching criminals and fighting cybercrime. It is super duper secure, and it's created to protect family and friends. Now available to you. So download Bunker from the App Store, Play Store, or visit Bunker, BUNKR.life. Use the code redacted and you'll get your first 3 months free. So one more time, that's Bunker, BUNKR.life. Use the code redacted. You get the first 3 months for free.
Well, you can't make this up. Klaus Schwab is out at the World Economic Forum, and who do they just slide in as an interim chairman? The new head of the WEF is a former CEO of Nestle. His name is Peter Brabeck Letmathy. I don't even have to say his name. How would you say that? Brabeck Letmathy? What a name. Look at this guy, though. Here he is. This is literally the new head of the WEF. I mean, and yeah, like everyone's like, well, what is going on with this weird, like, bloody eyeball? And he does look a lot like Le Chiffre, doesn't he? From Casino Royale with the bloody dripping eye. Reminds me of this Bond villain easily. So this new guy, though, believes that water is not a human right, but a commodity to be sold and owned by the likes of Nestle. This is the same guy who argued that filling up your pool or washing your car shouldn't be a personal choice. Why? Because some unelected global body should actually be in charge of how much water you're allowed to use per day, you know, for the greater good. Listen to him.
About 50 to 100 liters per day. But not to fill a pool or wash a car. There is a difference. We must transform the way we think about water. By 2025, 1.8 billion people will be living in regions without enough water. Water scarcity is the greatest challenge we face today. And we need to start recognizing water as a precious resource. Therefore, water should be better managed, should be better valued, and has to be better preserved.
Yeah.
By who is right. My question.
Right.
He has some points. Absolutely. That's
yeah, it is
true.
A precious. Absolutely is precious.
Right.
But as President Trump pointed out a few months ago, obviously when dealing with everything that was going on in Maui, we have too much water. We have a lot of it. We have a lot of water. It's just being, you know, misused and being
Nestle
used correctly.
As a company that steals water. Like,
yeah, I know. I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you some details. Yeah.
Not only that, but it's the same people that like had an actual like ad campaign in Africa to convince women to stop breastfeeding and use their formula.
Yes.
And so.
Yes.
Like,
great point.
So, I mean,
yeah. They steal water and they're using use our breastfeeding formula instead of actual breast milk.
What did Philip just say? What was your last sentence?
Oh, I was just saying that's the guy we want in charge of like everything, I guess, the World Economic Forum. Like that's going to go well.
Right.
Well, also Kamala Harris, you recall, I don't know if you guys remember this.
I remember.
She told us, remember, the next war is not going to be like a kinetic war in the traditional sense. The next war, it won't be over oil. It'll actually be over water. Watch.
And here's the other thing, because I also, you know, I'm in a lot of meetings on foreign policy. You know, for years and generations, wars have been fought over oil. In a short matter of time, they will be fought over water. So when we think about building up our economy around our infrastructure on something like water policy, it's literally about jobs. It's about the fundamental source of life that Tammy Duckworth was talking about. It will sustain life. And it's about strengthening up our nation.
Yeah.
I saw Mad Max. I know how that goes.
Yeah. I mean, so you have these globalists, you have, Kamala Harris, you have the new head of the WEF talking about water. So if you think that sounds bad, just wait. Under Brabeck's leadership, Nestle, and this is what David was talking about, extracted millions of liters of water from indigenous lands in Canada while local residents couldn't even get clean drinking water. According to reports, Nestle is one of the largest users of water in the food and beverage industry. And in 2023, the company withdrew approximately 95 million cubic meters of water globally. 37% of that came from water-stressed regions. So they knew the areas were bad, and they went in and took the water from them anyway. Nearly half of this water was consumed in their operations, and while the rest was actually discharged, they just like dumped it back in the environment. So let's get this straight. Nestle can drain aquifers dry and sell it back to you in their plastic drinking water. It's brilliant, actually. It's a brilliant business model. We'll steal your water and then sell it back to you. But you're the bad guy for wanting to take a long shower, right? They're going to tell you how to regulate it. That's peak globalist hypocrisy. And it makes sense that he'd be leading the WEF at this moment.
Well, the YMCA proudly allows men and women to pick the gender and then use the locker room they feel like, because that's how they roll. It was only a matter of time until that policy exploded in their face. And it did, in fact, in Kansas City recently. This Missouri man, pretending to be a woman, exposed his genitals to a 7-year-old girl and her mother in the women's locker room. And it was at the North Kansas City YMCA, where hundreds of children attend for various classes and such. Here is how the local news reported it.
It was less than 10 days ago when a Metro mother and her daughter had finished up swimming lessons, where she says hundreds of children attended. They went to the women's locker room to change. That's when she says she heard a man's voice. She then decided to leave. But as she and her child walked out of the stall, they encountered a naked man, his privates on full display. She asked what in the world he was doing. The woman claims he said something to the effect of, quote, "Honey, I'm a woman." She and her child then sprinted out of the locker room. That woman spoke to Fox 4 on Monday, and she says they were not the only ones.
Okay. Actually, I'm quite surprised that the local news called him a man and said it was his genitals, because up until this point, we've had news agencies calling trans women trans-identified men. We were using their preferred pronoun. And so we had a lot of media that were saying her penis, which should never happen. There was no her penis. It was his penis that was exposed. Said penis belonged to a male. I'll stop saying the word penis. Okay. So we dug into where the YMCA gets its funding. And it turns out, you may be surprised, that the YMCA leverages approximately $1.5 billion each year in grants, with more than $600 million coming from government sources. Not only that, we found that the YMCA, across the country, using federal dollars, still using vast DEI programs for children, including after-school DEI programs, all paid for with your tax dollars.
So it's based on something they call the diversity wheel. So take a look at this on your screen. This is the diversity wheel, which allows for gender self-identification. And among their core beliefs are the following. Let's read it. Core dimensions are central to our personal experience. They've sustained influence in our lives and are often the dimensions that we most closely identify with. Many of these dimensions are unchangeable, reflecting how we were born, though some may change over the course of our lives, including faith, beliefs, values, ideology, but gender and gender identity. So all of this can change. And oh, by the way, your race can change. Your sexual orientation can change. So, yes, your DEI dollars at work, your hard federal dollars, your tax dollars at work for DEI programs at YMCA. I tweeted a few minutes ago about this, and I asked Elon Musk, "Hey, Elon, you're over there at Doge, like, why is YMCA getting $600 million of our tax dollars to fund these things and allow these, you know,
gender bathrooms?" I thought the government banned DEI.
I thought so, too.
Why is this allowed?
And it's right on their website. Just go to the YMCA's main website. It's right there. You can read all about their diversity wheel and how they're running these DEI programs. So, Elon, hit me back. I love to answer that question. All right. Well, hey, moments ago, a stunning announcement out of Washington. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. officially declaring that artificial food dyes are done in the United States. That's right. As of this afternoon, the Secretary of Health and Human Services declared a nationwide phase out of petroleum-based food dyes, the kinds found in cereals, potato chips, sodas, candles, snacks. Basically, the entire American grocery store is going to be affected by this.
Wait, you can't put dyes in a candle? You're not supposed to eat the candle.
No, but I think, I don't know exactly, but I think
nobody else is eating candles.
I went to a sushi restaurant last night, and they brought the sauce for the sushi, the nigiri, and it was clear. And I was like, I thought that was, he's like, it's a sweet sauce, but we don't put red dye in it anymore.
Oh, how'd it taste? The same?
It tasted the same. It was great.
Imagine that.
Have you seen the clear ketchup? That weirds me out a little bit. It looks like hair gel.
Ew, that's weird.
I know.
But see, this is why we have this problem, right? So the people like think that things need to look a certain way, like this apple needs to be this shiny object, right? But yeah. In fact, no, it doesn't need to have that preservative coating around the outside of it. What is it, company Peel that Bill Gates runs?
Right.
It's like it reminds me of the non-nutritive furniture varnish or food varnish from Christmas Vacation that you remember Clark works.
Yeah.
And he made that like non-nutritive cereal varnish to keep the milk from like cracking it down. It's like, so we need to get over these things, you know? And anyway, but let that sink in. The United States government just declared war on red 40, yellow 5, all the rainbow color toxins, big food has been pumping into your kids for decades. So this is all part of his big Make America Healthy Again program. Now this video, and you know, it hits really home because the same dyes that are banned in Europe are still included in U.S. versions of those same exact brands, and Americans are fed up about it. We just talked to Tori Brooke a few minutes ago, Toria Brooke, on fertility issues in the United States. All of this processed food, like why are fertility rates dropping, you know, precipitously? Listen to this woman. She went viral yesterday.
At this point, how are you not just curious? How do you not want to just try something different? Look around. Look how many young people have cancer nowadays. Children have cancer. Look at the skyrocketing rates of autism. How come none of us can handle dairy anymore? None of us can handle gluten. Everyone has allergies. Dogs, you have to have health insurance for your dogs now. Dogs are getting cancer. Like, look, the food's poison, the water's poison, the soil's messed up. These companies have no liability. I'm just at the point where I'm like, is it like an ego thing, especially with people on the left? Like, you just don't want to be like, oh, everything I've been told is like a lie. They're purposely making sick because they profit off of it. It's like, no, wake up. None of this is normal. And it didn't used to be this bad. And it's only going to get worse as well.
I think what she's alluding to, people say, no, I can't be worried about that because if I pull the thread, how far will I go? Will I regret the vaccines I gave my children? Will I regret the decisions I've already made in my life? Yes, that happens when you take the red pill. And so there are so many people who are afraid to question any narrative because it has to be this package of, I believe everything that the media tells me. And I understand how painful it is, but there's no choice. You either live in denial or you don't.
Phil DeGore in our chat says red dye was taken out of cosmetics in the 1980s. Is that true? So you couldn't put it on your face because they knew it was terrible for your face. But there's like, but you can still drink it in your like diet, weird cherry flavored thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it looks red. It must be cherry, but it's made up of like weird chemicals and red dye and all this stuff. So anyway, that's good news. So I just want to say this, you know, two weeks ago, we had Dr. Robert Malone on the show. Mm-hmm. And we talked with Dr. Robert Malone about this, about, you know, a lot of people are getting antsy about RFK Jr. because he'd been in there like 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever. And he said, just give it time. I know he's working on some big things. Just have some patience here. Yes. And then, all right, we get him banning fluoride.
Yeah.
Or moves towards banning fluoride. And we get this now. So that's two huge, huge things.
Right. That's a big checklist. The same thing. Nicole Shanahan, when she was gracious enough to come on the show, said the same thing. Like, there is an agenda. We know he still cares about these things. They're coming. So, okay. We're a little impatient. We apologize. But yeah, good on them for doing that.
All right. Hey, coming up next, Dr. Pierre Corey is going to join us because we can even ask him about this too. We'll get his take on this. But we want to talk to him, of course, about this new pandemic that CBS and the mainstream media is sort of pushing on us right now. They're calling it worse than COVID. And of course, they're lining up a whole new round of vaccines and getting it to push us. You know, I didn't think they would try this again. I thought maybe that ship had sailed, but it seems like they're gearing up for this. So is it going to be worse than COVID? Dr. Pierre Corey is going to join us here, maybe to debunk it, hopefully, or tell us all to batten down the hatches. We'll talk with him in a moment. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Fatty 15. So excited to share these guys with you because they're an incredible scientific breakthrough to support long-term health and wellness. C15 is the first essential fatty acid to be discovered in 90 years. And get this, studies have confirmed that it's 3 times better, broader, and safer than omega-3s. Fatty 15's co-founder, Dr. Stephanie Van Watson, discovered C15 as the first essential fatty acid to be found in over 90 years while working with the U.S. Navy to continually improve the health and welfare of aging dolphins. Isn't that amazing? So it's pretty simple. Essential nutrients keep our cells healthy, which keeps us healthy. And if you want to get sciencey about it, studies show that C15 actually works by strengthening our cells, improving our mitochondrial function, protecting us against damaging free radicals, and the result, better long-term metabolic, liver, and heart health. Turns out many of us are deficient in C15. So fatty 15 has three times more cellular benefits than omega-3 or fish oil. Fatty 3 is made from a patented, pure, and oxidant-resistant C15 powder derived from plants. And omega-3 fish oil supplements often go bad before they even leave the bottle, so you're getting like really rancid stuff. So try it right now. Fatty 15 is on a mission to replenish your C15 levels and restore your long-term health. You can get an additional 15% off right now of their 90-day subscription starter kit by going to fatty15.com/redacted. That's fatty15.com/redacted. And use the code redacted at checkout to get 15% off their 90-day subscription starter kit. All right.
I'm going to have "You're the One for Me, Fatty" in my head all
the
day.
The Smiths song? Now, or is that Morrissey or Smiths?
It's the Smiths, I believe. Yeah. No, it's not. I think that's a Morrissey song.
"You're the One for Me, Fatty."
"You're the One for Me." Clayton used
Don't
to sing
say that
to
about
me.
Our next guest. Do not call him.
When not. I was pregnant, and I actually liked it.
Yeah, that's why I call her I called her Plumpy.
All right.
So on Christmas gifts, I'll label it "Too Plumpy" from Clayton. Yeah.
That's love, you guys.
That is love.
Yeah. You can only hope that you find a man who loves you enough to call you fatty.
That's right.
All right. This week, 60 Minutes did a terrifying report about how bird flu is poised to be the next pandemic. Now, we can't show you 60 Minutes videos from here because they take our videos down when we do. Here is the transcript. Look how scary this is. This is Dr. Angela Rasmussen, an American virologist working in Canada. She said that it's not just the number of human cases of bird flu that's alarming, but that the virus is jumping to more mammals. And it's basically E-I-E-I-O. It's chickens and pigs and raccoons. And she just goes down the list. She says she can't sleep at night and that we need to be actively testing for it and looking for it, or it's going to explode before our very eyes. Bill Whitaker says that if this does in fact become the next pandemic, he says it would make COVID look like a walk in the park. Dr. Pierre Corey is the founder of the Leading Edge Clinic and author of The War on Ivermectin, the medicine that saved millions and could have ended the pandemic. He joins us to discuss. So, doctor, how worried are you? Are you able to sleep at night, or are you up counting sheep like this virologist from Canada?
You're asking me. I am not worried at all. I mean, as you guys almost kind of pointed out, I mean, what makes an expert is pattern recognition, right? We've seen this playbook before, right? Instill fear at the same time that you come out with a fast-tracked approved vaccine, a terrifying vaccine, a self-amplifying mRNA vaccine, you know, for avian flu, and you're trying to create and drive a market to get vaccinated. And, you know, Clayton, you know, I listened to you just a moment ago, and you know, like you, I don't think this playbook works anymore. I mean, their big show was COVID. They've been trying to do it again. I remember our smallpox pandemic that they tried to scare us with, right? Right. That whole thing was silly. This one, you know, although I'm a little dismissive, you know, avian flu, if it does jump to humans, which there's no, you know, conclusive evidence that's doing that to any significant degree, it's all potential. That does have a higher mortality rate. That is difficult. But here's the thing. The real reason why I'm not worried, two of them. One, we have learned so much about how to treat viruses. I have a dozen therapeutics in my toolbox, which I know would cure avian flu. That's number one. Number two, and this is where it gets absurd, we shouldn't even be talking about avian flu. It could be eradicated today just by treating the water that the chickens drink. There's something called chlorine dioxide, which is at high levels. It can be used as a disinfectant. It's also used as a water purifier. But it's the ultimate biocide. It kills viruses, fungi, bacteria, all pathogens. All you have to do is raise the concentration in their drinking water, and we wouldn't be talking about this. But I'm going to come up with simple solutions to apparently intractable problems.
It seemed crazy. I mean, watching that 60 Minutes clip, I mean, they really are pushing this agenda. So do you think it seems like it's right out of this playbook where they're trying to get us all scared, and then they're really trying to activate the vaccine manufacturers. Like you mentioned it a second ago. Do you think that that's the playbook here, is really to sort of, all right, we got to fast track billions of dollars in these new vaccines?
I do. I mean, I think I'm seeing that pattern also around this measles, right? I don't know if you guys are aware, but I was involved in with Children's Health Events and reviewing the cases of these two supposed measles deaths. They are amplifying that and fear-mongering that. Those children did not die of measles by any stretch of the imagination, but yet they're trying to fear-monger everyone into rushing to get an MMR vaccine. And, you know, maybe I am oversimplifying and drawing rapid conclusions, but where are the cases? Why are they doing a 60 Minutes on it right now? There's no evidence that it's harming us or that it's a true threat to us. But I think it's the beginning steps of that playbook, right? Is to start to foment the fear, bring awareness to it, and then hopefully people be receptive to whatever their newest single solution is that's highly profitable to the vaccine industry. You don't hear about simple, low-cost, available, safe solutions that don't bring profits, and I know of many of them.
Well, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, declared a state of emergency over bird flu last year, right before Christmas. Why has he not looked into treating the water if it's such a state of emergency? What the hell is he doing in that frantic state?
Well, you're leading me to an uncomfortable answer, which is maybe they don't want a solution. You know, maybe the solution that they want is the solution they're providing, right? And there's a lot of incentives to that being the solution. And that's what is just endlessly, to say I'm disappointed or disturbed, I don't think there are words to really describe the way I see these authorities and institutions of government and society, the way they behave. I mean, they're really, they seem influenced to achieve a certain outcome and a certain solution at the disregard of all other safer, simpler ones.
Right. And one thing, I'm sorry, let me just, last year we talked to Dr. Kelly Victory and she said, look, we knew how to treat COVID. We weren't allowed to say so. And so.
And you were not allowed to say so,
right.
Dr. Corey.
So that's what she's worried about with bird flu is what you just said. We do know how to treat bird flu. What if we're not allowed to say so if and when this happens as a media pandemic?
Again, you're calling out the playbook, right? So in order to do what we were just talking about, you have to suppress effective early treatments. They did that incredibly successfully in COVID, you know, starting with, and I've talked about this in the journal, I mean, I nailed their playbook. I mean, the number one step is to publish articles in high impact journals showing that these safe, effective treatments actually don't work. They manipulate studies to do that. Then that gives them the foundation to enact all sorts of policies and punishments for those who decide to willfully ignore those august, high quality, rigorous trials, you know, and it's a tired playbook, but that's going to be part of it. You guys know this, that's going to be part of it. If I come out, if avian flu becomes a real thing, and I did what I did with my colleagues and my organization back in COVID, the FLCC, we try to put out treatment protocols, and people start to use some of the modalities that we recommend, you're going to find the medical boards coming after them. You know, the same stuff, persecutions. I mean, it is really a very rapacious industry. And the way in which they drive business and fight competition, it's not like any other industry at all. They literally go after people's livelihoods, their reputations, their credibilities. It's not like the, you know, iPhone beating the BlackBerry, you know, like
right.
You know, yeah. True competition. You know, here you come up with a different solution that threatens their market. They do not play in pharma. I mean, that is a criminal syndicate. We have many decades of evidence that they literally behave like a criminal syndicate. They do not care about our health. They put profits before people all the time. And they pull these shenanigans to amazing financial success. We have to get
this. I know.
Chairman Mao would have been very happy about this. I mean, this is not capitalism at work. You're picking winners and losers, and you have partners inside the government who are picking winners and losers, and they're silencing through censorship people like yourself, Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Robert Malone, a whole host of doctors we've had on the show who've been silenced. But so we're out in front of it now, right? You mentioned off the top that there's at least a dozen different modalities, things that you could be able to use to stop avian flu if it did make that jump in humans or whatever to cure it and to fix it. So put it on the record right now. You don't have to go through all 12 of them. But if there are people who are scared right now watching this, hopefully none of them ever watch CBS or 60 Minutes who watch our show. But we've got tens of thousands of people watching us right now live. So if they wanted to stock up on something in their home, you know, just to have it in their medicine cabinet, what would be something that you would recommend?
So first and foremost, I would say the one that has the evidence base already that you would is sort of nasopharyngeal sterilization or disinfection. So things like iodine sprays, xylitol sprays, we know they're antiviral. The nasal carriage and pharyngeal apparatus has the highest burden of those viruses. And we know if you reduce viral loads simply by topical applications, mouthwashes, sprays, you actually reduce mortality rates as well as time to recovery. That's just one, right? Then there are others which are a little bit more theoretical. So for instance, ivermectin, very good broad antiviral, things like nitazoxanide, which isn't very available here, but it's available in South America and Africa. Those have broad antiviral properties. And then I'm going to come back to a really dangerous topic, which is chlorine dioxide, which is very widely available. It's excellent at killing all infectious pathogens, and it's actually safe to take at therapeutic levels in water. You know, we know what the safe levels for routine drinking water disinfection are, but those levels are far below any toxicity levels, and therapeutic ranges are just above that. I'm just going to come out on record saying it, that if I got avian flu tomorrow, that's what I would use in terms of what I think would be the most potent. But there's also things like if we knew it was coming, we should have a national campaign to replenish vitamin D levels. We know the higher your vitamin D, that your chances of dying from any infection are markedly reduced. And so I think there's a bunch of sunlight. Sunlight's what saved most people in the 1918 flu. And so there's lots of just different approaches, not only to maintain and make robust your immune system, but also that have antiviral properties. Things like artemisinin, right, which is a native, it comes from a plant. That was highly effective in COVID. I've heard from colleagues from different countries. They had no problems with COVID using that. So there's lots of options that are safe, that have been well studied and used. And so they're not like risky proposals. And I think they would just put forth so much potential benefit that this fear mongering wouldn't stick.
Yeah. Now, and I think, sorry.
What do you think?
No, I was going to say, but none of what you just said there is going to make big pharma a lot of money. So they're going to probably silence you and try to hide it, you know.
Right.
Sunlight.
We should make clear, we're not diagnosing you. If you think you have bird flu or anything like it, you should talk about these treatments with your doctor.
Dr. Corey, I'm not a doctor. Right. I just play one on television.
So we need to make that clear. Now, one thing that I've started to see the media come to a crescendo is about tuberculosis. We've seen that in the UK, they have a 13% rise in cases over the last year in tuberculosis, which is serious. We see in the United States now 8% increase in cases. Just this week, my son said that someone he knew at school had tuberculosis. And in the year 2025, we do not vaccinate for it in most developed countries. If this had been the pandemic, maybe we would have reacted very differently. Is this a new media scare, do you think, or how do we assess what the media is telling us now about rise in tuberculosis?
Okay, now you guys are officially triggering me, and I'm saying that somewhat humorously. And the reason why is,
okay,
all right, let me speak to your question. I do not think that is about fear-mongering or trying to drive, arms to get vaccines for TB. There is no vaccine for TB. So that for that reason, no. But when I say you're triggering me, is that article about this unexplained rise in TB cases, what I get triggered of is that's not the only disease that is surging across the world. There's 13 different infectious diseases that are surging in countries all across the world, mystery pneumonias, viruses, even older ones. There's strep that's going around. There's brain-eating fungi rises in cases. Innumerable infectious diseases, of which TB is one of them. And what triggers me is every time you read an article by this, and there's one article in Bloomberg for about 8 months ago, which did an amazing review of all the epidemiology of these rising infections. Every article, you know what they come up with the reason for this? This is the not calling out the elephant in the room, which is the massive immune dysregulation, immune suppression after a global mRNA vaccine campaign. That is what we're seeing. That article is literally calling out to these disturbing rises in infectious illnesses that are hitting people in sectors. Like if you read that article on TB, they are finding TB in people without traditional risk factors. Nowhere is it mentioned that there's a vaccine. The one reason they gave in that article for why those TB cases is because of interruptions to medical care from the pandemic. So there's delays in diagnosis. Absolute nonsense on its face that makes no sense with TB. You don't diagnose TB until you get symptoms. So don't tell me that this is delays in care. And so it's part and parcel of the tragic humanitarian consequences of the folly of an mRNA global vaccine campaign. And we're paying for it now. People are getting sick with illnesses they traditionally weren't getting sick from, not only infections, but cancers. And that's just the plain reality. I've deeply studied on this, and I'm sorry to be myself fear-mongering, but we're in trouble. You know, what they did in COVID, we're still paying for it. People are getting sick as a result.
Yeah, wow. You were warning about it. I mean, I wish you weren't canceled over it. I wish people would have paid attention to it. Well, you've written a book, The War on Ivermectin. But I want to get you out of here on two last questions, Doc, which is, well, how do we treat this? If you have this spike protein, if you've got this in your body, all these people are getting sick, these 13 highly, you know, contagious diseases across the world. What is your recommendation for people now to get this out of their body? Can they?
Yeah, so I specialize in that. That's what my clinic does. Let me just speak to TB because, you know, I started a new nonprofit with colleagues called Rebuild Medicine, and we are doing some that RFK Jr. has mentioned as part of his policy agenda, which is that we are furthering research into repurposed drugs. We are about to fund and start a study. I won't tell you what country it is, but we're studying the efficacy of chlorine dioxide in TB. So we are looking for new solutions for infectious illnesses. But to your question in terms of vaccine injury, Clayton, that would be an hour-long episode because there's no single thing. And even that question of can we get rid of spike protein, we don't really have commercially available tests for measuring spike loads. We do tend to follow spike antibody levels, which we think is a proxy. I do have a number of things that can reduce those levels. I just have not yet been convinced that that's the target. I use many different therapies. Not one thing works in everyone. I can see two patients with vaccine injury who appear very similarly, and two therapies will work great in the first one and do nothing in the second. So it really just, I'll finish my answer by saying that is a very complex and idiosyncratic disease for which you need to work with patients, and you have to do repeated therapeutic trials using, you know, pharmacologic or supplements or nutraceuticals that have mechanisms of action that can marry the disturbances in their pathophysiology. And so it's not a short answer, and I'm still working at it. I've been at it 3 years. I am 100 times better at treating it than I was 3 years ago, but I need to be 100 times more because it's still a tough disease to treat.
Well, we'll do a whole hour long interview with you on vaccine injury. We'll do that. So we'll put that on the book. So we'll talk to our team and make that happen. So I will get you out of here on this. You wrote the book War on Ivermectin. President Trump it seems like major moves towards making ivermectin available to Americans in a larger way. I mean, if you would have said this like a few years ago, you would probably have fallen off of your chair because you were silenced. You were canceled for telling people about ivermectin. I mean, what was your response to hearing the Trump administration wants to make it available more readily for Americans?
I feel not only vindicated, but so satisfied because I think it's the work of myself and my colleagues. You know, we were conflicts of interest free, deeply studied, scientific, putting out accurate information, and to find that it resonates and is gaining traction. And, you know, you mentioned Trump, but I'm as equally as impressed with the states, right? There's, I think, almost a dozen states now that have legislation on the books to make it available over the counter. Its utility in treating cancer is becoming more and more widely recognized. And so, you know, the Nobel Prize winning discoverer called it the wonder drug, and it truly is. It's unique in our total pharmaceutical armamentarium over decades. It's one of the most unique medicines in terms of its unparalleled safety and broad applicability. And so I can't think of anything better for, you know, furthering the treatment of illnesses than having the role of ivermectin be recognized. So it's very gratifying. And so I'm happy to see that it's gaining traction and people are realizing that we weren't misinformation. We were just trying to do the right thing and teach people things that we thought could help them.
Yeah. Tell that to Jimmy Kimmel, who was making fun of people for using horse goo, whatever his comment was that time. And it's kind of amazing because, you know, even on YouTube, you know, we broadcast on multiple places, but in their terms of service on YouTube, they specifically forbid the use of that language. Like, you couldn't talk about that. You couldn't even use the I word. It's unbelievable. Like, the censorship industrial complex that was put in place. So we've come a long way in a few years.
I did an interview with Matt Taibbi. I always remember this. Did an interview with him a few years ago, and he wrote an article. I was profiled in it, and he called me the ghost of the internet, because whatever podcast I went on, they disappeared. They were taken down, shadow banned, demonetized. And wow. I know I did an interview with you. I don't know if you put it up on YouTube, but it's a pretty good way to get your head cut off.
Yeah, no. I think at the time, because it was still banned on YouTube, we could only release it on Rumble. Isn't that crazy?
Yep.
And now here we are. Like, we're live on YouTube right now. Thousands of people watching. So it's like we've come a long way, I think. Yeah. So it's good. I think we're making some strides in that regard. Dr. Pierre Corey, great to see you. Thank you so much. And we'll get it on the books. We'll have you on for a long time. We'll talk about vaccine injuries.
Love it. Sounds good. Thanks,
right,
guys.
Perfect. Thanks, Doc. Great to see you. All right.
Well, that's going to do it for us today at Redacted. Recall that we have a newsletter. It comes out every day that this show comes out, Monday through Thursday. You can find it at redacted.inc, and there's nothing behind a paywall. It's free. Just click sign up for our free newsletter and then put your email address in. And then you get this every single day that the show is live. And we try really hard to make sure that you are linked to original source material to the best of our ability so that you can study for yourself. You can read for yourself. You can come up with your own opinion. Don't have to share ours ever. We appreciate your contribution and your opinions and your variety of opinions as well. So we have no agenda here at all. So please do sign up for redacted.inc. We will be back tomorrow. We are on the mend in the Morris household. So that's Clayton and Fatty.
And off. Plumpy and Clayton signing off.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.